You open Bibles to Luke, the 18th chapter, and we'll come to that passage here in just a few moments as the launching part of our study in just a moment. As Kevin has already mentioned, we made a little change in our service. You may be disappointed thinking we're coming here to sing tonight, and that'll be done next week. I made a little mistake in scheduling of my meetings, and I knew I had a meeting next week. We didn't schedule anybody to speak next week, so anyway, we tried to cover for that, and we have Brian Walsh coming next Lord's Day morning, and then we'll have the singing next Lord's Day evening, and so move me on up till tonight. So anyway, that's what we're doing and why we made the changes. One of the things we're going to see in Luke, the 18th chapter, is a contrast between opposites, and that is of humility on the one side and self-righteousness on the other. It doesn't take a Solomon to figure out that those are extreme opposites. One is either filled with humility, or they might have self-righteousness in their hearts, and they're not the same. They're the exact opposites. But it's altogether possible, as we're going to see, to have both among people who are somewhat alike. You may know of people that are quite in a number of ways. They're much alike, and yet one is filled with humility and another one is self-righteous. And we're going to see that in our study tonight. We'd like to think that we are the people of humility, but it's altogether possible that we may be people who are self-righteous, as we're going to see in Luke, the 18th chapter. And so, to begin, I want to just raise some questions, thought-provoking questions. Do you view yourself as more righteous than others? I don't mean by that, do you look at yourself and you say, I'm trying to live right, and I know people who are not trying to live right, but among those who are trying to live right, do you view yourself as more righteous than others? Do you view others with disdain, that you are so glad that you're not like other people, that you're so much better than they are? Do you view yourself in a class all by yourself, that there are Christians and then there is top drawer Christians and I'm in that top drawer, and I'm just so glad I'm not like other people? Well, we're going to see this in Luke, the 18th chapter, so I encourage you to turn. I've been asked some time ago if I could work through some of the parables. And we're going to do that beginning tonight, and then we'll skip next week since I'll be in Nashville at Hillview in a meeting, and then we'll pick up our series a little bit later. On Sunday mornings, I might add, on starting week after next, we're going to begin a series on deacons and the process of trying to select new deacons, and we're going to begin a series on deacons, but we're starting tonight a series on parables. Let's look at this short parable, verses 9 to 14 of Luke 18. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is a story of two men who pray. There was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. And I want us to analyze these two men by first of all noticing, we're going to notice three things. We're going to notice the setting, verse 9. We'll notice the parable, and verses 10 to 13. And then we're going to notice the lesson to be learned, verse 14. So let's talk about the setting. Let's go back to verse 9. Perhaps you need to pay close attention to verse 9 to understand the point and the thrust of the parable, because the setting gives us the reason for the parable being uttered in verse 9. Let's go back to verse 9 and again read verse 9. He thus spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. So I want you to notice that he spoke, first of all, I want us to notice concerning the setting, that he spoke to those who, there were two things, two characteristics that are mentioned in verse 9. Those that he addressed this parable to, number one, was those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Notice that it's not that they trusted in God because God could make them righteous, but they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Their focus is on themselves. And so here is the quality of self-righteousness. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And secondly, They despised others. That is, they viewed others as nothing. And that's obvious in the parable, as we're going to see, beginning at verse 10. So who is it that is in the audience that Jesus spoke to? Verse 9 said he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. He was in the audience. Well, there are two classes and two groups that are represented here. First of all, there is the Pharisees. And secondly, there is the publican, the outcast who is unworthy. The Pharisees are those who are given to formality, as obvious as you look at Matthew chapter 23. The Gospels are filled with descriptions of the Pharisees. So in Matthew chapter 23, they are those who went through their formalities. Matthew 5 talks about their formalities, their outward form. The Pharisees were those who gave emphasis to the outward more than the inward. We'll see that in Matthew chapter 23, and we'll come to that passage a little bit later. The Pharisees were those who were self-righteous, who trusted in themselves that they made themselves righteous, that they were worthy and therefore they were righteous, and they were filled with hypocrisy. Matthew 23, that scathing rebuke to the Pharisees condemned them for their hypocrisy. They said one thing and they did something different. They would bind upon one something that God would not bind, and yet at the same time they would lose some of the things that God had bound, and they were filled with hypocrisy. On the other hand, there was the publicans that are being addressed, who were the outcast of society, who, because of how they were viewed, often viewed themselves as being outcast, and they viewed themselves as being unworthy. They were the tax collectors and were looked down upon by society. They were the thought of as second class or third or fourth class, you know, citizens of the kingdom, and so those are the people that are being addressed. Well, I want you to notice the difference in the Pharisee and the publican. Now, this is how they felt. The publican, or the Pharisee on the one hand, felt like he belonged to the temple. They both go to the temple to pray. They both had temple privileges. We'll come to that a little bit later. But as the Pharisee comes to the temple, he feels like he belongs in the temple. I thank God I'm not like other men are. I'm kind of one who deserves to be here. The Pharisee, or the publican on the other hand, didn't belong there. In fact, he acts as if he doesn't belong there. Would not so much as lift up his eyes. We'll come to that a little bit later as well. The Pharisees were known to show in their face that they were fasting. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6. Not chapter 5 and verse 6, but chapters 5 and 6 of the book of Matthew. They made great display and they showed that they were fasting. I'm making great sacrifice for my service to the Lord, and I want you to know I'm sacrificing, and look how I am in hunger because I've been fasting. Where on the other hand, the publicans made no show of their religion. They are quite different. For the Pharisee, there was a religious air about them. That's all evident in the prayer that we see here in our text, beginning at verse 10. Where on the other hand, the publican, their reputation was bad. Whether that's true or not, that was their reputation. They were always classified among the sinners. The Pharisees were those who took the scriptures and they wore them with their phylacteries and put them upon their fingers and upon the forehead and carried them between their eyes. And so they made a show and a display of their scriptures, to show that it was close to their heart and we know our scriptures, and they'd put it up on the doorpost and to remind themselves, and nothing wrong with that, but they made a great display of their scriptures and how they kept them before them. The publicans made no display of any kind of thing like that. The Pharisee, on the one hand, viewed themselves as quite religious, but the publican viewed themselves as being unworthy, and they were quite different in a number of ways. But now, that's the setting of the parable. Jesus spoke a parable to this end that's some were those who trusted in God and they despised others. Or they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Now let's look at the parable itself and analyze the parable and what it says. Beginning at verse 10 to verse 13 is the parable. It's a short parable, just verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. Four verses. So let's read again. Two men went to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector, a publican. The Pharisee stood thus and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And that's the end of his prayer. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise up his eyes, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So let's talk about the parable. I want you to notice that these two men were similar and they are alike in a number of ways. They both were Jews. And in one sense, you look at them and you don't see any difference in the Pharisee and the publican. They both were Jews. They both were religious. Both had come to the temple to pray. That indicates they both are in a covenant relationship with God. The Pharisee thought of himself in a relationship with God, and so did the publican think of himself in a relationship with God. And so they're alike in that sense. They both seemingly have temple privileges because the Pharisee and the publican come to the temple to pray. Not everybody had temple privileges. Both men were praying men. Both men pour out their heart in prayer unto God, the Pharisee and the publican. So these men were alike and they were similar in many ways. But I also want to suggest to you that these men were different. And how different were they? Well, notice the difference in the prayer. Big difference in the prayer. The Pharisee said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Here is a man of arrogance. We'll come to that in a moment. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner or unjust or adulterer, and I'm not even like this tax collector, this publican over here, this lowly, worthless publican. I'm glad I'm not like him. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Quite a difference in their prayer. Now let's see what their difference was. The Pharisee, on the one hand, in the parable, was quite arrogant. He lifted himself up. I thank God I'm not like other men. Whereas the publican was a man of humility. They're alike in a number of ways, but that's quite different. One was a man of humility, the other man was an arrogant. The Pharisee viewed himself as righteous. Again, not viewing himself that God has made me righteous, but he views himself as a righteous man. And so he's patting himself on the back of that, what a great man that I am. Where the publican viewed himself as a sinner. That's quite different. They're not the same at all. The Pharisee felt like he was too good to associate with others. I'm thankful I'm not like other men. Not even like this lowly publican. But the publican felt like he was too bad to associate with others. He would not so much as lift up his head. And he stood afar off, the text said. And perhaps he feels like I'm too bad to associate with others. And here is one who feels like I'm too good for him to associate with me. Quite a difference in the men. Notice the Pharisee never asks for mercy. He brags to God about how great he is. He never one time in his prayer asked God for mercy. He never says, God, I've done good things, but I have sinned also, and I need your mercy, and I pray for your mercy upon me. Never does he ask for mercy, so apparently there's no need for mercy. The publican, on the other hand, has a great need for mercy. In fact, that's all he asks for. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee singles himself out as being righteous, as if God would notice that if he was righteous, but I'm thankful I'm not like other men. This is a prayer to God, by the way. This was not a statement to his fellow man. This was a prayer to God, reminding God of how great he is. And he singles himself out as being righteous. He doesn't say, I'm thankful they're righteous men. I'm thankful that they're men who are not extortioners and adulterers and even like this lowly publican. But I'm thankful that I'm that way. So he singles himself out as perhaps the example of righteousness. The publican singles himself out as a sinner. He doesn't talk about everybody else being a sinner, but he singles himself out. That's the one he thinks of. When he thinks of sinners, he thinks of himself. The other one thinks only of righteous when he thinks of himself. And so they are quite different. Now I want to spend the rest of our time talking about the things we learn. Now that was a short parable, I recognize. But I want us to go back to our text, and we saw the setting in which these verses are found. We see the parable itself. But what do we learn from the parable? Well, let's go back to verse 14. And let's see what we see in verse 14. This is the observation Jesus made about the parable. At verse 14, Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Talking about the publican. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now let's talk about what we learned from that. First of all, here's the thing I learned. I learned something about the sin of self-righteousness. There was a self-righteous man, verse 9 tells me that, and then the example is given in verses 10 through 13. Let's talk about the sin of self-righteousness. Let's list some of the characteristics of those who are self-righteous. Number one, they ignore their weakness and they gloat in their own righteousness. Do you ever do that? Notice this man has weaknesses. The text says so, verse 14 tells us that he went down, he was not justified at all. So he has weaknesses, but he doesn't notice that at all. He ignores his weaknesses and he gloats in his righteousness of how good he is. Secondly, the sin of self-righteousness are those who seek the praises of men. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 23. I said there was a scathing rebuke in Matthew chapter 23 where on Tuesday of Passion Week, Jesus issues a scathing rebuke to the Pharisees. And I know they love the praises of men. I want to begin instead of at verse 23 at verse 25. He said, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and indulgence," and self-indulgence. Or excess, the King James says. We'll come back to verse 26. But I want to. What's the picture? It's like they clean the outside of the cup and the platter so that they can make a display before others. But they really don't care what's on the inside. They're not seeking to be righteous. They're only interested in what people think. Now notice verse 26. "Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're white like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but indeed are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Now notice verse 28, his conclusion. "Even so you outwardly appear righteous to men, but you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." That is, they were interested in what men thought about them, so they seek the praises of men. The self-righteous seek the praises of men. In John chapter 12, here were some who believed on Christ, but they wouldn't confess him lest they be put out of the synagogue. We don't want to let people know. We believe, but we don't want to let people know that. Because they love the praises of men more than the praises of God, the text said. Those who are self-righteous focus on the weakness of others. Notice that in the parable. That he didn't focus on his own weakness. He had many. But he focused on the weaknesses of others. And particularly this publican, this lowly publican. The self-righteous do that. The self-righteous place their self in one class and everybody else in another class. You notice that in the parable, in his prayer. That I'm thankful I'm not like other men. I'm in a different class than they are. Like the extortioners and the adulterers and this publican. He's in a different class than I am. They put themselves in a class above all others. Those who are self-righteous thank God not for what God has done for them, but what they have done for God. Do you notice in his prayer, he never thanks God for what God has done for him. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your greatness and for your kindness and for making me a righteous person. He never does that, but he does thank God for the fact that he's a good man. I'm thankful I am so good. I am thankful that you have me on your side, God. The self-righteous do that. They thank God for what they have done for God. They focus on the outward and not on the attitudes. Notice he focuses not on inward. He doesn't thank God that I have the right attitude toward others. He thinks he's not an extortioner and adulterer. I'm thankful I'm not like those men. And look what I do. I fast twice a week. I give tithes. Those are outward things. They focused on the outward and not on attitudes. The self-righteous have no wants, they have no needs, and they have no acknowledgments. They don't talk about how I need the Lord and how I need to change as we talked about this morning. And they have no acknowledgments of their own weaknesses. So their focal point is on themselves and not on God. And that's the point of the parable. Go back to verse 9 of our text in Luke chapter 18. That he spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. His focal point is on self and it is not on God. And therein is the problem. I want us to go back to our text just for a moment. And I want you to notice in this prayer as we focus on how many times he used the word I, he focused on himself. And notice how he doesn't talk about God, but he mentions God. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. His focus is on himself. And thus, he seeks to be self-righteous. I want to talk about self-righteousness being a sin and why it's a sin. Let's begin to list some reasons. Why is it that this man, the attitude that this man had in this parable, why would you list that as being a sin? Well, first of all, let's go to some other text and tie them in with this. Those who are self-righteous do not love their neighbor as themselves. Jesus said, this is the first and the greatest commandment, you love your neighbor as yourself. This self-righteous man didn't love his neighbor as himself. He loved himself far more than his neighbor. He thought he was superior to his neighbor. So the sin of self-righteousness involves a sin against your neighbor because you don't view your neighbor, you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He doesn't treat others the way he wants to be treated. Jesus said, as you would men do you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. He's not treating this publican as he wants to be treated. He didn't want to be treated as a lowly person who is unworthy of even attention, not worthy of association, and yet that's how he treats this publican. Self-righteous people treat others with disdain. Did you notice back in our parable in Luke chapter 18 and in verse 9 that they despised others? Thirdly, those who are self-righteous do not look upon the things of others. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 2, in the context of some disarray within the church, or at least the potential of disarray within the church, look not upon his own things, but every man also upon the things of others. Don't just look about yourself, but think about others and how it impacts other people. This man's not doing that in Luke 18. Self-righteousness is a sin because it makes others the standard, and that always makes you better. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What do we mean, makes others the standard? You say, I thought he was the standard. Well, the self-righteous in some ways make themselves the standard, as I am the perfect standard that everybody should measure themselves by. But notice he measures himself by others. 2 Corinthians 10 and in verse 12, we dare not class ourselves or compare yourselves with those who commend themselves, for they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That is, using others as the standard. And that's what this Pharisee was doing. He uses others as a standard, and so let's take this publican and look at him, and I come out better, so I look pretty good compared to him. And there's an extortioner over here, well, compared to him, I look pretty good. And then there's the adulterer, well, then I look, compared to him, pretty good. And so the self-righteous person makes others the standard, and then they always come out on the top side of that. And therefore, that makes it a sinful action. Let's go back to Luke 18, back to our text. Self-righteousness is a sin because they trust in themselves and not in God. Do you notice that back in verse 9, back in our text in Luke 18 and in verse 9, of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Their focus is in themselves. They don't have any trust in God. God making them righteous, they focus upon themselves. Those who are self-righteous are proud and they're arrogant. We see numerous proverbs about the proud and what happens to those who are proud. Let's notice just a couple of those proverbs, the sixth chapter, if you will. Well, start in 15 and in verse 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, and they join forces. Though they join in forces, they will not. None will go unpunished. So the proud, the text says, are an abomination and they will not be unpunished. Chapter 6, one more along that line, the first verse mentioned here. Chapter 6 and in verse 17, a proud look. These are the six things the Lord's hating among those, a proud look and a lying tongue. God hates a proud look. Repeatedly through the Proverbs, there's pride and arrogance that is condemned. But I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, those who are self-righteous don't see themselves that they could fall. They never look at themselves as there is the potential for me to be lifted up with pride and therefore I could fall. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 12, let every man who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is in the context of eating of meat sacrificed unto idols, and the man recognizes, you know what, there's nothing wrong with eating of meat sacrificed to idols, but he could very easily be lifted up with pride to the point that he stumbles and he falls. So to the man who thinketh he stands, you think you stand? Take heed lest you fall. Galatians 6 and verse 1, when others stumble and fall, he said, go talk to them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. That is, when I talk to somebody else about their sin, I need to take consideration of the fact, you know what, next time it very well may be me. But the self-righteous do not consider that at all. Self-righteous binds more than God has. He said, I fast twice a week. That wasn't required. But he was binding something that God indeed had not bound. Now let's talk about the blessing of humility. That was the contrast in the parable. Here was a man who, verse 14 says, went down to his house justified rather than the other. What is the blessing of the humble? What about humility? Well, those who are humble, like this publican, they see a need and a dependence upon God, and therefore they cry for mercy. That's what this man did. He cried out for mercy and he cried out for a need. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Those who are humble people have reverence. I want you to notice back in our text in Luke chapter 18 that the Pharisee, the text said, that he, verse 11, stood and prayed thus with himself. And so he prays standing with his head lifted high. But I want you to notice in verse 13, the tax collector standing afar off. He's not presuming to draw near as if I'm worthy to come near. He's standing afar off and would not so much as lift up his eyes. That's humility. But beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The blessing of humility is that there is no effort in this man to justify or excuse or ignore his wrong. He cries out for mercy. He makes no pretense of saying, well, I did wrong, but the reason I did, or my excuse is, or here's the justification, or just ignore that. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have done wrong, and I am in need of mercy. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, if you will, the 11th division, and in verse 12. Those who are humble are those who have wisdom, and they seek wisdom, and they gain wisdom. All through the book of Proverbs, we see this principle. 11 and in verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Those who seek after wisdom and gain the wisdom that we're studying in the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning are those who are humble. And so those who have humility like this man have wisdom. Let's go to the 29th division of the book of Proverbs. Last of the unit of chapters we began studying this morning in chapter 25. Those who are humble have honor. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. There is honor to those who are of humility and those who have humility. Those who are humble have grace and exaltation from God. James chapter 4, 1 Peter 5, God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. God lifts them up. God exalts them. That was the point. Go back to our text in Luke, the 18th division, if you will, and in verse 14. Here was the lesson Jesus said, and that is, he exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, here's something else I learned from that. I see the sin of self-righteousness from our text. I see the blessing of humility. This man was justified rather than the other. But last of all, I want to notice that the strong and religious and devoted people can be lost. This man seems to be quite strong. And so, therefore, there are some strong, religious, devoted people, and yet they can be lost. The Pharisee had many good characteristics. While he is condemned in our text, doesn't mean he was totally bad in all things. Let's list some of his good characteristics. He seems to be devoutly religious. You say, what's the need in listing his good characteristics? I want to show you he had some many good characteristics, and at the same time, he was a lost man. That could be describing me. That could be describing you. He seems to be devoutly religious. He was at the temple praying, wasn't he? I'm sure there were many Jews who never went to the temple to pray, but this man is at the temple praying, the text says. Seems to be devoutly religious. There is no indication that he was not sincere in his prayer. He does thank God that he's not like other men. Nothing indicating that he was not sincere in his prayer. Furthermore, there is nothing said against his morality. In fact, he says, I'm glad I'm not like other men, like adulterers. Nothing to indicate that he was an immoral man. Nothing said against his immorality, against his morality. He seems to be faithful to his marriage vows if he's a marriage man because he wasn't an adulterer. He said, I'm not like other men, like adulterers. So he claims that he's not an adulterer. Nor was he an extortioner. He hadn't done any wrong in that avenue. He doesn't seem to be unjust and unfair in dealing with others. No indication of that in our text. I know he was liberal with his money. He fasted twice a week, he said, and he gave tithes of all that he possessed. He's liberal with his money. And so if you knew this Pharisee, you say, well, you know what? He's a very devoutly religious person. I know that. Yeah, he does seem a little arrogant, but he's very free with his money and helping those who are in need. And I know this, he doesn't steal and take from people. He may have a good bit of money to help with, but I'd never known of him to steal. And he seems to be faithful to his, and he seems to be a good moral man. I know that much. And yet, go back to verse 14. Verse 14 says he was not justified. And what was his problem? There were attitude problems. He had a problem with arrogance. He had a problem with, according to verse 9, of being man who trusted in himself and he despised others. He has attitude problems. He's lacking in other areas. He may have been a very religious man. He may have been faithful to his marriage vows. He might not have been an extortioner, but he has had problems in other areas. And what I learned from that is being religious and being devoted and being devout is not enough unless we meet the regulations of God, and that's what I see in this parable. Now, here's the last thing I want you to notice in the lesson is yours. What lessons are we learning? What I'm learning from this is that if mercy needed to be shown to the publican and was shown to the publican, then I need that too. I need that too. If the publican needed mercy, then I need mercy. If mercy was shown to him, then I need mercy too. And let's go back to our text one more time. Here was the man at verse 13 who would not so much as lift up his eyes. He stood afar off and he beat upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said the focal point that I want you to see, verse 14, is the humility of this man. Well, that's the story of two men who prayed. There's a very short story that Jesus gave. We saw the setting at verse 9, what prompted this. There were those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They looked down upon others. And so Jesus spoke this parable about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. One thanked God about how great he was, and the other said, God, a sinner. And Jesus said, here's the lesson you need to learn from that. It's a lesson about humility and not being self-righteous. And that was the point of the parable. Two men who went to the temple to pray. We'll pick up and deal with some other parables as we continue in a couple of weeks from now. And talk about some of the other parables that Jesus spoke and the lessons that we learn from them. There may be one or more present who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? Subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?